Thank you, Larry.
All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 20, and we'll begin reading at verse 19. Actually, read verses 19 and 20. Some instructions here by the Lord for going to war, and as the children of Israel would go into cities and conquer them and attack and take the land that God had given them. God had some instructions. As you'll see, it makes complete sense, the instructions that he gives in this passage, as do all of God's instructions make perfect sense. Amen? Everything he says is perfect, as I preached this morning. And everything that he says, we really simply need to obey and do what he says. Verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 20. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. I want to talk to you tonight about the fruit and nut trees. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Give us exactly what we need tonight from your word. I pray you'll challenge us, speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to realize what it is that brings life, what it is that is the life of the church and of the Christian. And I pray that you'll speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your place there. Look over at Proverbs 11, verse 30. And this is a familiar verse, one that we hear often and certainly hear preaching about. The Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." I'm talking to you tonight about the fruit and nut trees. And certainly in the scripture here, just makes sense. You're going to go fight a battle. You're going against a city, and there would have to be bulwarks built, which are walls, walls of defense. And certainly wood would be used in many, many different ways in the battle. But in this case, it does mention building bulwarks against the city. And so trees would have to be chopped down. And certainly this would be a normal thing. It would be something that takes place often. But again, in a long battle, and it says, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time, the people that are going against that city, they have no provisions. They may not have enough provisions for the long battle that's ahead. And so God simply tells them, all right, there are trees in the forest that can help you. There are trees in the forest. There are fruit trees where you can eat the fruit off those trees and sustain yourselves while you're in a long battle, because you may not have the provisions otherwise to live, and therefore do not harm those trees. Leave those trees alone. And then he said there would be some nut trees there. And certainly in this time there would be perhaps a pistachio, I don't know what they called it in the Old Testament time, pecan trees, walnut, almonds, different kinds of trees maybe. I'm not sure about pecan trees. I don't know about that in that area. But there would be trees that would yield, God calls them here, meat. And meat meaning something the people could eat and it could sustain them. Of course, we all like to eat fruit. We all like to eat different kinds of nuts. And those are very, very good to provide you with what you need to sustain you, and especially in a situation where they may not have any other option. They may not have any other food to eat. And so he says very clearly, these trees that produce meat, the fruit and the nut trees, leave them alone. You have to build things, yes, cut down the other trees. Get rid of the other things. Do not cut down the fruit and the nut trees. And obviously the tie-in here is very clear. The Bible says, and any time I think of fruit, I think about a result of something. Fruit is the result of a tree. The nuts are the result of the tree. The fruit in our lives is souls, period. I mean, the result of my life should be souls. The result of your life should be souls saved. The result of the life, which is Berean Baptist Church, it should be souls getting saved. That should always be the result. But again, we understand that, and God tells us that clearly. But in Deuteronomy 20, he says, not only is that what it should be, that's what keeps you alive. That's what's going to keep us alive. If we don't have fruit and nuts, we're going to die. We are in a war. Don't know how long the war is going to last. I'm looking for Jesus tonight. Amen. I started to say tomorrow, but I'd like to see him come tonight. That'd be all right. And I don't know how long the war is going to last. We're in a war, folks. And without the fruit and nut trees, if we cut them down to build whatever it is we need to build, if we cut them down to battle whatever it is we need to battle, then we are actually destroying our lives. And that's what he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 20. So he says, don't cut down the fruit and nut trees. Let them live. That's man's life. He said, fruit bearing should be the life of the church, and it is the life of the church, and without it, it's dead, and it's cold. And when souls are not getting saved in a ministry, then it's dead. You say, I know a lot of ministries, and they're dead. They're just dead. That's how it is, all right? And so it's very important. So I want to show you some things about the fruit and nut trees that I think are very important. Number one is their appearance. Their appearance. They're always more noticeable. Anything that has fruit on it is more noticeable than that which does not have fruit on it. I mean, it just stands out. It's very obvious. If you drive through Florida and you see the orange groves, you know, the orange groves without fruit on them, you don't notice it, but that bright orange fruit out there, boy, that really stands out. I remember driving from Pensacola, Florida, down to Orlando to when I was in college, and Brenda's brother was very sick. For some reason, he was in Orlando, Florida, and it was our first time, really, to drive that stretch down there between Gainesville and Orlando, and right in there. And I'll never forget, it was kind of a boring drive. Of course, the panhandle, kind of flat, kind of boring. But wow, I mean, when we got in those orange groves and saw all that orange, I mean, it stood out. We talked about it. We remarked about it. It got our attention. I mean, it was something that was, you know, oh, look over here. Wow, look over there. And I mean, orange everywhere. There's something about that fruit that makes their appearance stand out. And the fruit and the nut trees, they really stand out. They are more noticeable than all the other trees. You know, soul-winning ministries stand out. They really stand out. I'm telling you, where there's fruit, you go to the hospital and you find the most exciting part of the hospital. Where is that? It's not the morgue. Yeah, it's the maternity area. It's exciting in there. There's a lot going on. Why? Because that's new life coming on. That's where the life is. It's there in the maternity ward, and it's exciting. And a baby is born, and it's exciting. And a soul is born again, and it's exciting, and it stands out. But I'm going to tell you this, it not only stands out to you and I, and it seems the most noticeable thing where the fruit is, but I got news for you. The enemy sees it too. Oh, and the enemy does not like the fruit. Our church in Indiana, when we started, that was the first thing we were attacked for. And it was the thing that was the most consistent thing that our church was attacked for, that was fruit producing. That was, I mean, our fruit and nut trees, and we had a lot of nut trees. Anyway, but I'm telling you, it stood out. It stood out. And it stood out to the devil too. And you know, I mean, immediately, I put an ad in the paper, and right after our first service, said, two people, praise the Lord, two people were saved at Faith Baptist Church on our first Sunday, and I got criticized. I'm still probably getting criticized about that. Why? You know, you'd think in a religious community, a town of 2,000 to 3,000 people, with 17 churches, you'd think somebody would have said something positive about that. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, their appearance, they stand out in the forest. You can tell, oh, there's an apple tree. Oh, there's a pomegranate tree. There's the walnut tree. They stand out. They're very obvious. We never got criticized for going into a basement of a library to have our church. Nobody ever criticized us about that. You walked in, the men's restroom sign was above the door where you walked into church, and when you came out of church, you came out and the sign above said women's restroom. That's how we did church. Now, off to the sides, both ways, were restrooms. Nobody ever criticized us. I would think they'd make fun of that. I would think they'd attack us for meeting in the basement of the library. Nobody ever said a word about that. You know what they said a word about? They said a word about our vacation Bible school. Do you know they tell kids how to be saved at that vacation Bible school? What is wrong with those people? We got attacked about that. We got attacked about our bus ministry. Do you know they give kids prizes to ride on their bus and go to their church? What's wrong with those people? Hello? It was always the fruit and nut trees that people noticed. It was always the fruit and the nut tree, that which was producing life in our church. That was what Satan was attacking. Why do you suppose that is? Yeah, you know why it is. Nobody ever said anything about when we bought an old plumbing and heating building and remodeled it and had church in it. Nobody cared about that. They never criticized about that. Nobody ever said a word about the fact that at our 1 year anniversary service we had in our new heating and plumbing building that we had remodeled, we had to open all the doors because we didn't have air conditioning, and right outside this door an Amishman parked his buggy and a horse neighed and whinnied throughout the whole service. Nobody criticized about that. No, you know when they got upset? They got upset because we gave an invitation. They got upset because some of the big shots in the city got saved. They got upset because people were getting saved and lives were being changed and the church was growing. You'd think in a little town of 2,000 to 3,000, they'd be excited when a church is growing, a town that has 17 churches already. But instead, they're saying things like, we don't need another church here. And I would say, we must, because we're seeing people saved every week. But again, it wasn't our pews that were warped and lopsided, and when you sat down on one side, the other side went up until a bigger person sat down on that side, and then that side came up. Nobody criticized that. Nobody criticized or talked about those kinds of things. Instead, it was always those fruit and nut trees. Boy, they noticed the fruit and the nut trees. Amen. And boy, when you start bearing fruit, it gets noticed by people. I mean, really, honestly, we lived up in Birch Run area for about 5 years. We had a grapevine. And that grapevine pretty much was boring until when? Until it got grapes on it. Then it got exciting. Amen. And then it was kind of a neat thing. Before, you know, it's just, oh, look at the grapevine. And my wife, I think she always thought there'd be a snake in there, you know, because it was huge. I mean, it was a great big grapevine. But wait till grapes come on that thing. And that was kind of exciting. And the fruit and nut trees, they really stand out. They stand out. People, you know, and that's the thing. Whenever fruit started to come on the trees, whenever the nuts started to, I really hesitated using that, but when the nuts started to fall off the trees and things started to happen, you know, that's, people start taking notice of that. They start looking at that. Well, their church is just a bunch of kids. Isn't it amazing how you can buy a several hundred thousand dollar property and remodel it completely and make it work in an area that no building or no business had ever survived, and we were told that, and you can do all those things with just a bunch of bus kids? Boy, they had lots of money, those bus kids, didn't they? It's amazing, too, how we would be criticized often about the idea that, well, you're paying those bus kids to come. So now we're not only getting all our tithes and offerings from the bus kids, we're also paying them to come. But see, that's how it gets when people notice the fruit and the nuts. That's exactly. People start getting, because the devil gets all bent out of shape. The devil doesn't mind a church starting. He just doesn't want it to produce fruit. The devil doesn't mind somebody teaching Sunday school. He just doesn't want you to produce fruit. The devil doesn't mind you getting on a bus route. He just doesn't want you to produce fruit and nuts. Why? Because he knows he'll eventually starve you out. He knows eventually without the fruit and the nuts, it'll die. And it always does. It always does. And so, you know, it should never be a shock as soon as the first fruit appears in a ministry. Soon as the first nut appears in a ministry, there's a big old target on that tree. And the devil attacks. He'll always attack. You know, and we'll always be criticized when there's fruit and nuts being produced. Look at Jeremiah 12, verse 9. I like this verse. I preached on this somewhere, sometime, somehow. I don't know when. Might have been in chapel. Might have been a PTF. Might have been church. Jeremiah 12, verse 9. My inheritance is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. He says, my heritage is, I'm like the speckled bird. All the other birds don't like her, and they attack her and try to make her ugly like them. It's because of the apples on the tree. It's because of the oranges on the bush. It's because of the grapes on the vine. It's because of the pomegranates and the figs and because of the almonds and the walnuts and the pistachios. It's because there's fruit. And as soon as fruit is being produced, there's going to be an attack. And it's always going to be an attack to cut those trees down. Always. Why? Because fruit and nut trees stand out. They stand out. They are the attack on the gates of hell that the devil fears. The devil does not fear a flower committee. The devil doesn't even fear an evangelism committee. You know why? Because evangelism committees doesn't guarantee evangelism. Are y'all with me tonight? I mean, the devil, there are many trees out there that do not bother him. But the fruit and nut trees, they bother him because they're the life of the church. Soul winning, bus ministry, altar call, opportunities for people to get saved, tracts, as was preached by Brother Hayes the other night. Those kinds of trees, the devil fears and he attacks. And if he can just cut them down, if he could just get you to cut him down, sure. He'll do everything he can to do it. Their appearance. Number two, we see their activity. There's something about those trees. You know, something's going on, amen? Something is going on with those trees. You know what it is? It's called life and the evidence of life. You know, life sometimes looks like it's alive, and then there's other times it really looks like it's alive. Does that make sense? How about the fig tree that had no figs? Remember that? Jesus said, cursed be you. Why? Because it wasn't bringing forth any fruit. It was alive, but it didn't have much life to it. By the way, the fig tree that has no figs on it, devil doesn't mind that. That's fine. That's okay. The Christian who never tells anyone about Jesus, never gives gospel tracts out, never invites anyone to church, devil doesn't mind. It's fine. It's okay. Because you're like a weeping willow tree. Boy, that was good. How about a whining willow tree? How about a wimpy willow tree? Anyway, but he doesn't mind that. Doesn't mind that at all. See, the fruit and nut trees, there's a lot of activity going on. There's life, and there's fruit, and there's a lot going on. Dead trees are really pretty boring, amen? Now, you know, I'm trying to keep the church, I'm trying to keep you, I'm trying to keep us alive, and the way to keep us alive is bearing fruit. That is our life. You know, we're going to go to war, and we have to stay at war, and we have to build the walls, and we have to do everything we can in the battle, and that means we have to cut down some trees. But you listen to me. We never should cut down the fruit and the nut trees, Because that's our life. That is our life. Amen. I remember when we lived in one of our homes out in the country, we had an apple orchard. Apple orchards are exciting. I mean, they really are. I have never had anything be more of a pain to me than, well, maybe our pear tree. But we'll get to that in a minute. But the apple trees at the Woolerman's house out in the country, it was a pain because I always had to mow around the apple trees. How many of you know what I'm talking about, mowing around apple trees? You know, unless you go out and you pick up all the apples, which when there's a whole bunch of trees, there's a whole bunch of apples. And you get to a place where, okay, you can only use so many of those apples. And so I'd go out there and I'd mow and literally fling apples all over the place. You know, you're mowing along and it's supposed to go, and it's going, and apples are flinging all over the place. Cut apples. Does anybody have any idea what kind of a creature enjoys apples that could be a problem to somebody on a mower? Yellow jackets, bees, every kind of bee imaginable love those apples. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going along and I'm mowing these apples. And I mean, it is unbelievable how many hundreds of bees enjoyed the apples that I was flinging. They didn't appreciate me and it was just really tough. And you know, honestly, you know, it was a pain. And fruit producing can be a pain. We had a pear tree. And the pear tree... this was at our house on Jefferson Street in Bern, Indiana. And it was right over, we had just built a brand new deck in the back. We were so proud of that deck. It was such a nice deck. We'd go out there and sit. Well, then the pear tree started producing fruit. And that fruit oozed. You know what I'm talking about with oozing? And every time a pear would drop, it would ooze. And there was ooze all over my deck. Literally, you would walk on the deck and the ooze could trap you so that you're stuck to the deck. Now, that was a pain. Really, it was. Recently, we had a berry tree hanging over our backyard from the yard next door. We have strange neighbors. Anyway, the berry tree was hanging over the yard and it was dropping berry ooze and berries all over the yard, so that walking through the yard made one's feet purple. I'm just telling you this. Activity from fruit and nut trees can be real messy. Amen? I was downstairs going through the fellowship hall. I believe it, I don't remember what day it was. And I saw this stuff in the carpet. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. It lived. I did everything I could. Other than I wanted to get a hammer and chisel to try to remove it. I have no idea. I don't know if it was a cake that got smashed in multiple times. I don't know if it was somebody's hamburger that somehow got chewed partially up and then smashed in. I have no idea what it was, but I remember looking down and trying to chisel that stuff out of the carpet, and I thought, God, the building's used. It really is used. But you know what? Fruit production can be pretty messy. Remember the apples I was telling you about? You know, my wife made some pretty good applesauce out of that, but oh, it was a mess. It really was a mess. And you know, when new fruit is coming on, there's going to be mud in the hallways. And there's going to be paper out in the parking lot. I saw half a sandwich out in the parking lot the other day. Yeah, it was raining. I figured, well, we'll see what happens. It just kind of became bleh, out in the middle of the parking lot. Birds came along and ate it. There's going to be things like that. You know, things are going to happen. Pews are going to get kind of tore up and things. And we don't... there's going to be disruptions in the services. There's going to be different things happen. But again, fruit and nuts can be messy. I guarantee this, they're more messy than dead trees that have nothing on them. And the wind blows through the dead branches and goes, now, personally, I'll take the life. Amen? But it can be messy. Buses, they can be messy. They leak, and that can be messy. And lights not, power going off in services, that can be kind of messy. Amen? And staying open. You know, most people cancel. A little snow, a little ice. Oh, Reverend gets to stay home. But when you're a fruit-producing kind of ministry, when that's your life, you don't close the doors. You can't. Why? Because that's our life. It's an opportunity. See, you have to understand that the activity can be messy, but it's our life. It is our life. Next time, you know, you see a bus kid doing something strange to a wall. Or you see a bus kid doing something strange. It doesn't have to be a bus kid. It could be any kid. It could be a teenager. It could be even an adult doing something strange. I see it all the time. Next time something like that happens, just again, stop and say, Lord, thank you for the fruit. Thank you for the fruits and the nuts. I thank God for fruits and nuts for years. And why? Because that's our life. And it is our life. You know, we're honestly, our ministry is not as formal as a dead tree. There's something happening. Every now and then an orange falls. Every now and then an apple falls. It goes clunk. Every now and then a fig falls and it makes noise and pomegranates start pomegranating us. It's just how it is. Because it's fruit. You know, a walnut plops on your head. That can be painful, but it might save your life. Amen. That's that bus ministry out there. That's our shepherd's ministry. That's our Reformers Unanimous ministry. That's our Spanish ministry. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's activity. Because it's life. It is life. I've watched fruit trees and my grapevine and all these things. Every day there were changes. Every day something was going on. Why is that? Because there's activity. The dead pine in the woods, it's always the same. It's always the same. You know, some folks are comfortable with things being always the same instead of something happening. I remember I went down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and became the pastor at Indian Hills Baptist Church, and a family in the church, I could tell they were starting to get a little nervous about things happening. When I went there, we were running 20, and after about 3 weeks, we were getting close to 60 or 70, and I could tell these folks were a little nervous. Finally, I heard from one of their relatives, and they wrote me a letter and said, my parents aren't used to a soul-winning ministry. Give them time and be patient. And they left because I baptized a black lady and let her sing in the choir. Amen. that's because they'd rather have that old, cold, dead pine tree where the wind blows and it says, but everything's the same. Everything's the same. There's brother so-and-so. Hello, brother so-and-so. Hello, sister so-and-so. And then here came in sister so-and-so. Yeah. But that's life, folks. My wife went soul-winning with someone down there one time and knocked on the door. And they were just going door-to-door. And I talked to some black folks there. And down south, there are a few. And anyway, later I heard from the lady's husband. He said, hey, he said, your wife took my wife to visit some black folks. And he didn't say black folks. And I said, yes. And I said, they were just going door to door. And he said, well, you know, we don't do that. I said, well, we do. So what are you going to do? Knock on the door and say, oops, sorry, wrong color. We can't tell you how to be saved. But see that again, when your mind is geared to fruit and nuts instead of dead, there is a difference. Satan hates the fruit and the nut tree. We should be excited. That's our life. Everybody saved, that's our life. Everybody that trusts Christ, everybody, whether it's bus kid, whether it's bus ministry, whether it's reformers, whether it's soul winning, everybody gets saved. That's what keeps us alive. Amen. This is good. I'm excited. Number three is the adversary. And the adversary, as I've already pointed out, he does not like the fruit and nut trees. The fruit and nut trees are an offense to their adversary. And certainly, often, it happens in churches that have fruit and nut producing ministries. It happens where spies come in from the adversary who try to convince the people to cut down those trees because we need to build the bulwarks. Well, you need to cut down the pomegranate tree because we need to build the bulwark against abortion. I'm against abortion. But I'm not going to cut down the pomegranate tree so I can build up the bulwark against abortion. I'm going to preach against abortion. I'm going to be against abortion. I'm going to hate abortion. But I'm not going to cut down a fruit or nut tree in order to fight abortion. But it's closed churches all over America. Now I'm telling you the truth here. I'm against the sodomite movement. I'm sickened by what's happened in the last few days. As every Christian should be. But I'm not going to close the bus ministry down so that we can fight against that. I'm not going to close our soul winning ministry. Some of you have quit soul winning so you could be more politically active. You are going to be the death of your own spiritual life as well as the death of the church if you keep thinking that way. You cannot cut down the fruit and the nut producing trees in order to fight anything. We keep them standing. Go find you a pine tree. Cut one of those down. Amen. Oh, but the devil, he's always trying to get us to do that. Huh? It's like the big group. I'm thinking of a church right now. This guy was one of the biggest soul-winning churches in Indiana. Down in Indianapolis, Indiana. One of the great preachers, many of you would know him. I'm just not going to mention his name. But I mean, this guy was, they had buses going all over Indianapolis and people were getting saved left and right. And all of a sudden, they got in this little thing of unchartered churches and decided, well, we're going to be an unchartered church. Now, I'm not going to argue whether they're right, wrong, or indifferent, but they started cutting down their fruit and nut trees to be an unchartered church. That church is doing nothing today that I know of. Why? Because they cut down their life source. They eliminated the source that was going to give them life, and it may have been a great cause that they got involved in, but you can't do that. You can't do that. God made it very, very clear. Do not cut down a meat-producing tree. Do not do it for whatever you're doing. Do not put your energy and effort on other things and neglect them. Amen, folks. That's right. Satan wants to eliminate those fruit and nut trees. He wants to get rid of them. You know, liberals don't have a lot of trouble. They really don't. Things go pretty smooth. Devil doesn't fight them. Really, new evangelicals don't have a whole lot of trouble. Now, they're going to someday. I got news for you there. But I promise you this, the devil is fighting against the fruit and nut producers. The largest, biggest problems I have had in my life as a pastor have been over the fruit and nut producing ministries. Always. Always. I had a guy tell me one time, well, the bus ministry doesn't make us any money. And I just looked at him like, okay, you've now revealed your stupidity. I didn't know it was supposed. I can still see this man. This was a wealthy man, wealthiest man I think, anyway, other than maybe some of our staff members, wealthiest man I've ever pastored, I think. No, this guy was very wealthy, and I couldn't believe he would say. He said, "Well, the Christian school, that doesn't make us any money." I said, "No, but it's our life. These ministries, these are our life." And Satan knows that, and he knows if he cuts off the fruit and nut trees, then it'll stop us. It'll end what we're doing. We will literally die of starvation. You say, well, there's a lot of churches that don't have bus ministries, a lot of churches that don't have soul winning, a lot of churches. And all I'm saying is, if there's no fruit, if there's no nuts, they'll die. They will die. It's inevitable. We need to keep producing fruit and nuts. It is absolutely crucial. That's what our missions conference is all about, folks. Honestly, I hope you didn't miss it. Hope you didn't miss it. But the adversary is against us. And, he'll this happens all the time, you know, he'll cut down all the fruit and nut trees, and then we'll see people put up some fake fruit. Now, I don't know about you. You ever see plastic apples and oranges and stuff, you know, in a little basket and everything? You ever taste one of those? It reminds me of the Egyptians and their fake snake, you know? I mean, you know, Moses, he does a miracle with a rod of God, and it's a snake, and the Egyptians, they have a little trick that they do, but it's not real. You know what? Anyone who gets saved by any other than by grace through faith that says they're saved, they're not saved. Anyone who gets saved by anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ, they're not saved. If somebody turns over a new leaf, that's not enough. If somebody does good works, that's an insult to God. It's a form of godliness. It is a fake fruit. It is a fake nut. It is not true. It is not right. And if it's a form of godliness that denies the power of Jesus Christ, who is the vine, who gives the life, who gives eternal life, and you can't fake it. But it's happening. It's happening. By cutting out altar calls, by cutting out hard preaching, by cutting out convicting preaching, by cutting out all have sinned and come short of the glory of God because that might offend somebody. By cutting those kinds of things out, you are only going to be able to produce plastic fruit. That's right. It's fake. It's manufactured fruit. It's man-made fruit. We cannot duplicate real fruit. It's not possible. Not possible. You can't do it with catechism. Hello? Can't do it with training. It's not possible. You can't train somebody into being saved. They have to be born again. And the only way that happens is by telling the truth and keeping the ministry in a ministry and a way of producing fruit and nuts. Not fake fruit. The last thing, number four, is the accomplishment. The accomplishment. By the way, that's why our adversary hates us. Because he hates Jesus. And he doesn't want us to understand that we are the branch and Jesus is the vine. He wants us to think the life is coming from somewhere else. Maybe it's just coming from your study. Maybe it's just coming from all your great vast knowledge that you have. Now that the internet's open to us, we can know so much more. Let me tell you, Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches." And I got news for you. If you're a plastic hunk of fruit today, you're not real. And if you are the result of anything other than salvation by grace through faith, you're fake. And you will go to hell someday. Number four, the accomplishment, and that is this: fruit and nuts keep the people alive. In the battle, when it's a long time, they don't have the supplies to sustain them. Again, we're not talking about you can fly a helicopter over and drop supplies. We're talking about in Old Testament time. We're talking about a principle that is so true that we ought to see it. Hey, there is no way they can get the supplies they need, but God's already provided the supplies. And guess what? God has already provided a harvest out here. All around us, there's a harvest. All around us, there are people that are lost on their way to hell who are ripe. They just need somebody to go pick them. And that's the life. And without that, we die. Ministries that produce fruit and nuts. That's what God's looking for. And that's the ones that are going to be alive when Jesus comes. There are lots of clubs you can join. You could be an Elk. I don't know why you'd want to be. You could be a Rotarian and rotate. You can be a moose. Aren't all those things hunted? There are all kinds of organizations you can join, all kinds of organizations that you can belong to. I'm sure they have their place and everything, but there's only one organization that can produce the fruit I'm talking about, and the nuts. And we've produced a lot of them. There's only one organization, that's the New Testament Church. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to keep those things going in our church. You in your life, us in our ministries, we need to keep it going. And we need to keep those trees alive and well and keep picking the fruit and the nuts and keep ourselves alive. That, I'll be honest with you, we're going to talk budget here in a few minutes, but this is more important than a budget. It is. Now, you have to have the budget to keep those things alive, but it's more important than a budget. It is God's way of keeping a ministry alive. Don't raise your hand, but I guarantee there's people in this room, you've watched ministries die. Now, sometimes they die for other reasons. Sometimes there's Ichabod. There's sin in the camp, and sometimes that happens. I understand that. But I'm saying you've watched ministries. Come on. I've been by the buildings, beautiful churches, beautiful auditoriums. I'm talking about huge ministries, and now there's grass growing up. Weeds are growing all around them. All over the sign, there's weeds. It's all tore up. Property that's now ruined. The place where God called me to preach, where my wife and I went to church, and it's a miracle church that we were a part of. Saw souls saved and all of that. They got in the pornography battle. I'll never forget it. We went off to college, and at that time, they got involved in the pornography battle. That church today, where I knelt, I surrendered my life. Now, I prayed and surrendered to God in the back of a bus, but I went forward and I knelt at the altar where I knelt to pray for most of my spiritual decisions in my life as a Christian. That place where I knelt to pray is now a dance floor of an American Legion. That was our church. You know what happened? The devil got in and the devil said, hey, cut this tree, cut this tree, cut this tree, cut this tree, because you need to fight against this. And so they cut those trees. And it wasn't long, and that ministry died. I'm just saying, folks, in our lives, that maybe that's why your life is not what it ought to be. You've cut out all the trees. You don't even carry tracks anymore. The fruit and nut trees, they're crucial for our survival. Let's bow our heads, please. You ought to pray for our soul-winning ministry, our bus ministry. Pray for our Christian school. Pray for Reformers Unanimous, the jail ministry. Pray for our Spanish ministry, all of our ministries, every one of them. It's about souls. It's about fruit. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I'm not even saved tonight. If I died, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's you tonight? You'd say, I've never been saved, never trusted Christ as Savior. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart about something tonight, please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand. Slip it up. Father, help us to keep our ministry alive. And I don't mean just going through motions. I mean alive. Lord, help us to see fruit and nuts, that which brings life. Help us to produce that with our ministries, everything we do. And bless it, Lord, please, for your honor and for your glory. And speak to our hearts tonight. Help us make decisions accordingly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.